Well, good morning, TNC family, from my home to wherever you are, still at this edge, at the starting gate of a new year, January 9, 2022. You'll remember, I hope, that 8 days ago, January 1, I shared with you for like 9 minutes a New Year's Day message rooted in the fourth book of the Bible, Numbers, and chapter 13, where the nation of Israel is also on an edge, a border, at the starting gate of a new era, about to enter the land God promised his people for generations. And I want to expand on that just a little bit today, because if you read the text, you can feel the hope and the optimism. This next era, they say, will be a better era. Better than last season, better than last year, better than ever. Now, that attitude, you understand, is on, metaphorically speaking, January 1. But as a final step in the process, because it will involve a battle and facing some enemies in the new land, Moses sends 12 spies into the new land. And on January 9, the spies come back, carrying with them grapes and pomegranates and figs, and they tell the people, "It is awesome, and it is true, the land God has for us is very good." Verse 27, "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey, and here is its fruit." Verse 28, But the people who live there are very powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large, and the land we explored devours those living in it, and all the people we saw there are of great size, and we can't attack these people, and they are stronger than we are, and we saw the Nephilim there, and the traffic is still bad, and my paycheck is still too small, and my employer is still too moody, and my knee still hurts, and my kids still talk back, and I'm still discouraged and lonely. And here's what the writer of Numbers wants us to understand. On January 1, at the edge of what was new, they saw the land of promise, the future God had in store for them. Better land, better soil, a better future. But on January 9, in a tragic turn, after seeing the obstacles they would have to overcome in order to take the land, they become more fear-filled of the future battle than faith-filled in the one they follow. "We went into the land to which you send us. It does flow with milk and honey, but..." And one of the spies in the text, Caleb, pushes back. "Come on, friends," he says. "Stop magnifying the challenges. Of course there will be challenges. Yet, verse 30, we should still go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Verse 31, "But the other spies spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it.'" Verse 33, "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." And now, if you're entering this story with me today, TNC, you just want to say, "Whoa, you seemed like grasshoppers in your own eyes? How is that possible? I mean, not that long ago. You were stuck in Egypt as slaves, and God led you out, freed you from the most powerful empire in the world, from the Pharaoh who had been killing your children to control your population. And then you were trapped between the Red Sea raging on one side and Pharaoh's army racing on the other, but God, through Moses, parted the Red Sea. And then you were in the desert, dehydrated and thirsty, and God provided water. Then you were hungry, and God provided food. And then you were lonely, and God came to dwell with you in the tabernacle. How is it possible that you can be so discouraged and negative about the possibility of taking the new land?" Well, TNC, I'll tell you why it was for them. It's because present challenges often give us spiritual amnesia. And in the text, the people's problem is that phrase in verse 33, "We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. TNC, listen, they see God's power accurately. The problem isn't God. They see the obstacles ahead accurately. The problem is not bad intel from their reconnaissance team. The problem is they see themselves inaccurately. They see the obstacles clearly, but they see their power to overcome unclearly. And I know people who see their problems at work clearly with their employer or a coworker, but they see their power to overcome unclearly. And I know folks who see the challenges of their relationships accurately, but they see their ability to find strength and healing and joy again inaccurately. I know friends who see their financial or physical obstacles accurately, but they see their ability to forge a better physical or financial future inaccurately. I know folks who struggle emotionally, discouragement, depression, boredom, a lack of purpose. They see and articulate those things very well, but their ability to see a path through and out of that struggle, they cannot see. They see themselves as grasshoppers facing giants. And so when you read the rest of Numbers chapter 13 and discover that they never enter the promised land, then just know this, they don't lose to the giants. They don't. They don't. As a matter of historical fact, they just don't. Because they lose before they start, and they lose to the grasshopper inside of them. And that's because the grasshopper in me is bigger than the giant out there. The grasshopper in you is bigger than the giant out there. And this is not just a biblical truth. You know, on a biological, psychological, chemical level, science today is telling us the same thing. I reread over the Christmas holidays Rasmus Ankerson's book, The Gold Mine Effect. Ankerson is a 39-year-old Danish performance development expert and advisor to businesses and athletes and franchises around the world. And several years ago, he became obsessed with high performance and how some locations develop a disproportionate amount of top talent. And so he literally quit his job, booked 7 plane tickets, and traveled around the world to live in and train in what he called gold mines, tiny places geographically that produce one world-class performer after the other. And so we traveled to Bokoji, Ethiopia, population 30,000. That's half the population of Valdosta, Georgia. And what does he find? 4 gold medal winners in middle distance running all come from that single village in Ethiopia. And 35 of the world's best 100 female golfers all come from the same region of South Korea. And on average, every other year since 1993, a Brazilian has been named the world's best footballer. And one facility, one athletic club in Kingston, Jamaica, with diesel-scorched grass tracks, have produced most of the world's best sprinters over the last 3 decades. And so he goes to all these places and he wants to know why? And then he writes later in the book, quote, I learned that the decisive factor in rising to the top in any field is who wants it most and who is willing to invest the most. The real barrier is not physical, but mental. In every case, success is about mindset, not facilities. It's about the grasshopper inside, he's saying, not the giant out there. Something that author, poet, Medal of Freedom winner Maya Angelou came to understand in her long journey to deal with an abusive past. And then in her fight to raise America's consciousness around issues of civil and human rights, and later as a voice for hope and perseverance and rising up in the face of the giants we all faced in life. Her poem, in fact, called Still I Rise, is one of the greatest poems ever written. And in 2009, she wrote a book titled Letter to My Daughter, dedicated to the daughter she never had, but to the daughters she sees all around her, a book for young women and men. And in the book, she writes this to her daughter. In life, quote, you may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. And it's just too bad she couldn't, like, time travel back and talk to the spies and say, you may not control all the giants around you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. You can control the grasshopper inside. Because in Numbers chapter 13, the people will not experience that better era, and it's not because the battleground in front of them was unwinnable. It's because the grasshopper inside of them was untamed. And now, TNC, listen carefully. There are some obstacles you will not overcome in 2022 if you do not deal with the grasshopper inside of you. There are some opportunities you will not pursue in 2022 if you do not deal with the grasshopper inside of you. And so the place to target today, January 9, as the smoke from the fireworks of New Year's Day is still in the air, is the grasshopper inside of you. And so let me give you two ways, just two strategies to help you deal with the grasshopper inside of you, because every one of us has a grasshopper or two, a fear, a worry, an insecurity, an ignorance, a concern that can stop us from being battle winners and promised land dwellers in 2022. So here's just two ways to help you deal with the grasshopper inside of you. Number one, listen to better voices. Listen to better voices. And here's what I mean. I mean, if you're struggling in any area, then you may be listening to the wrong voices speaking into that area. I mean, if you're struggling with fear, then there's a voice that's driving your fear. So why not listen to a different voice, a greater voice in 2022? Change up the news stations you most watch, the websites you most visit, the folks you most follow on social media. I mean, if you're struggling with financial health, then whose voices are driving the purchases you make? And if you're struggling with physical health, then which advertisers are tricking you into buying all that sugar and alcohol and nicotine and fast food and so on? See, too many of us feed the grasshopper. And one of the best ways to deal with the grasshopper inside of you is to expose yourself to better voices, greater teachers. So let me be practical. Will you read at least two new authors this year? You know, vet them first, read reviews, ask the right friends, but don't read only the same authors you've always read. Everything you need to know you did not learn in kindergarten or Sunday school. And by the way, everything you need to know about the world won't come from the same news source. So learn in 2022 from at least a couple new authors, one new media source. Perhaps start with one you think you'll disagree with. And also, if you want to listen to better voices, you'll need to talk less and listen more, because it's so much easier to learn when you're listening to new information instead of defending old ideas. And I'll tell you, it's easier today than ever to do this. Let me give a shout out now to YouTube. And can I ask you to pay attention to the voices you are inviting from there into your bedroom and kitchen and living room and car? Because YouTube provides a huge, wonderful opportunity to deal with the grasshopper. I mean, sure, watch me the cat complete an obstacle course. Watch it. But understand that's probably not going to help you deal with the grasshopper inside of you. And sure, play Minecraft, Halo, Far Cry 6, Hitman 3, Metroid Dread if you want, if you insist, but just don't be fooled into thinking that avoiding the grasshopper will help it go away. How about this instead on YouTube? Watch a lecture by Dallas Willard and discover that you want to go deeper with the divine. Watch an interview with conservative columnist George Will and discover that while you may not agree with everything, you want to think better and talk with more civility. Watch a conversation with Mike Lincona and Dale Allison and discover that your confidence in the historical resurrection of Jesus skyrockets. Watch an interview with Oprah Winfrey. Watch an interview between Brian Greene and Richard Rohr and discover that the universe is this mysterious and wonderful and awe-inspiring and perspective-giving miracle. Learn from better voices. And the beautiful thing is, they aren't just the ones on YouTube with degrees from Harvard. I met Kenny from Terminex at our church last week. And don't worry, we do not have infestations of spiders or centipedes or grasshoppers. And I could have just let him in and gone about my business, but instead I ask him about his job and what he's learned about pest control, and we talked about our families and sports and friends, and I found out he moved here from Austin, so I ask him about life in Austin. I ask him what he loves about Atlanta. I learned about his family. He learned about mine. He asked me to pray with him. And I'm just saying, if you want to listen to better voices, study, yes, under the greater teachers, but also understand that you can find those greater teachers anywhere. They work at Terminex and live across the counter at Walmart and in the lyrics of a music on Spotify. They live on the shelves of your library. They live on walls of museums. They live in recordings made decades ago. I'm saying you may not control all the events that can happen to you, but you can decide what voices you'll listen to. You may not control all the obstacles in front of you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. And it starts with seeing inside right and dealing with the grasshopper. This is what the Apostle Paul is getting at in Ephesians chapter 3, where he writes, quote, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." And there it is. Paul's talking about seeing in right. "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." And listening to better voices in 2022 will help us in this endeavor. Which leads to the second strategy for dealing with the grasshopper inside of us. Number one, listen to better voices. And number two, lean into greater community. Lean into greater community. Because a friend of mine a couple days ago said I could have a leftover huge stone slab that they did not need for some work they were doing around their house. So I drove over there, but I could not lift it alone, nor would it fit in the trunk of my Civic. So I leaned into two other people whose muscles and cars did allow me to lift it and transport it. And the secret was pretty simple. The obstacle was too big for me, but it was not too big for all three of us. Which reminds me of a Bible text that I will always associate with my friend Larry Crutchfield, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, quote, "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not easily broken." I remember in college, there was a huge talent show one night, and like 2,000 folks from our campus and community came together, and it was emceed by two folks who were a combination of like narrators and comedians. And at one point in the middle of the talent show, with thousands of people in the room, all of the auditorium lights went out. And after an initial gasp from the crowd and then some moments of confusion, the MCs came on over the microphone and said, "Don't panic, everybody. We're working on getting the lights back on." And then a minute later, they said, "While we wait, everyone raise your left hand." And so we all did, although we couldn't see each other very well. "Okay," they said, "left hand down. Now everyone raise your right hand." And we all did. And then they said, "Right hand down. Now everyone on the count of three raise both hands. One, two, three." And all the hands went up and the lights in the entire auditorium came back on. And all of our hands started clapping, and the MCs who had orchestrated the entire thing said, "It's true, many hands make light work." A clever play on words, obviously, but I'll never forget it. Many hands make easier work. And of course, if we find the right friends and the right hands, it will even be better, because some friends, honestly, they're sort of like a commercial for a pharmaceutical drug that sounds great, but then they spend the next 45 seconds telling you about all the side effects. We need to pay attention to the kind of community we're leaning into. This is why King Solomon writes, Proverbs chapter 13, "Walk with the wise and you'll become wise." And according to social psychologist David McClelland of Harvard, the people with whom you habitually associate are called your reference group, and these people will determine as much as 95% of your success or failure in life. And I listened to a Bruce Arians interview recently, coach of the Buccaneers, and he was asked about when Tom Brady came over to the Buccaneers. Listen now to Bruce Arians, quote, "We needed a guy who had been there and done that, and that folks would follow. One thing I did not know about Tom is how great a teammate he was. He'll take teammates under his wing, on the field and off the field, and he'll teach them how to read defenses and how to run routes and how to memorize assignments, and he'll just work with them constantly. He's the ultimate teammate." Arians goes on, "In practice, I will be telling a receiver, 'When you come out of your break, you've got to be pumping your arms all the way.' And they'll say, 'Okay,' but they won't do it. But Tom will go over and say, 'When you come out of the break, you've got to be pumping your arms.' And they'll say, 'You got it, Tom,' and they'll do it." Arian says, "So I will tell Tom sometimes what I want to tell them so he can tell them so they'll do it, because they listen more to him. Because if you find the right friends and lean into the right friends, which is really the whole purpose of our church, to become a community of the right kind of friends who bring strength and purpose and love and joy and peace to each other and our community and our world. And of course, no church is perfect, no organization is, but our aim is the creation of an all-inclusive community of loving persons with God himself as our primary sustainer and most glorious friend." And some of you might be like, "Hey, David, I already have my five good friends in my friendship circle." Well, I'm happy for you. So now come be a friend to someone else who needs a Tom or a Caleb or someone to speak words of love and wisdom into their lives. And some of you might be like, "Well, I don't know many folks at TNC right now." Well, then just trust Maya Angelou's wisdom. Again, from her book, Letters to My Daughter, quote, "A friend may be waiting behind a stranger's face." Because we all need to lean into one another and into greater community. And when we do that, we'll discover greater things are in store. So TNC, at this edge, at this starting gate of 2022, there may be an area or some areas where we may seem like a grasshopper in our own eyes. But if we'll listen to better voices, and lean into greater community, we can, verse 30, still go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it with God himself as our primary sustainer and most glorious friend. Let's pray. God, I pray now for every person listening. I pray that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened in order that they might know you in deeper and realer ways this year, in order that they might know the hope to which you have called them, the riches of your glorious presence, and your incomparably great power for us. God, give us courage this year to deal with the grasshopper inside of us, so we can win our battles and face our obstacles. And we're going to do it together, leaning into better voices and greater community with one another. And we're going to give you all the praise and the glory along the way. Thank you, God. Amen.